Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. Part of the JC Hawk Sports Network. Tune in tonight to hear news of the USWFL as well as other sports talk. Listen live every week on Blog Talk Radio or catch our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many others. Just type in JC Hawk Radio in the search box.
All right. Welcome to the fifth quarter with Coach Johnson. I hope you're down wherever you are, because, boy, we're sure soaked here in Tennessee. No doubt about it. I know last week when we was on here, I actually just got done roping some steers and talking about the rope and I was going to enter and things of that nature. And this week, it's a total different story. We ain't got the rope. Any day this week, it's rained and rained and rained and rained. So it's been really rough here. I did get to go to a roping and competed for the first time in about 5 years, somewhere along that nature. Yeah, I was really sore the next day, couldn't hardly walk. Been a long time, still ain't back 100% from all the stuff I had going on for the past year, but getting there, you know, getting there. I've got a horse that's like me. He's old, out of shape, and he was getting tired and sore toward the end of it. But we didn't win, but it was I roped really good. I felt really good. I missed two cows. That's too many, I understand. But I know what I did, and I know how to fixed it, and like I said, a lot of it was my horse getting tired, and it had rained all day at the arena where they had it, and actually got started late, so it was about 11 o'clock or so by the time we got done anyway that night. So, you know, as the day went on, you know, the night went on, I'd gotten sore and tired, but it was a really, really good. I felt like I'm getting back on track. I'm nowhere near where I need to be to compete and win at a high level, but nevertheless, I'm gonna get there. No doubt about it. I'm gonna get there. That's the last thing I do. You know, I really missed it. I can tell you that. I missed, you know, this women's football. It's a whole different family, and the roping is another different family. You know, I've got a bunch of friends that I've been friends with through roping since they was kids, you know, and helped them win their first buckles and saddles and things of that nature. And, you know, I haven't seen them much over the last 10, 12 years, whatever we've been doing football here. I haven't seen them much, you know, so got to hang out with them some and looking forward to doing more of that. It's roping is a really family oriented sport, and you know, we took our niece Paisley and one of my friends, like I said, that I helped him win his first buckle, Bear Kicks. His daughter is a couple years older than Paisley, and she's way more advanced in riding and working cows and roping and all this stuff, but you know, that's all she's did her whole life. And you know, I was telling Jim, I said, we need to get Paisley around that and, you know, more of it and get her into something that, you know, that maybe she'll stick with and enjoy. And she had a ball. I'll tell you what, we hadn't probably left that rope in 5 minutes till she was asleep. They was everywhere around there riding, working, punching cows and all that nature. So it was really, really good. Like I said, I've missed it a ton, missed the people, you know. I've made a lot of good friends from coast to coast through roping, you know, and it's like any sport. There's a lot of really good people and a lot of people that ain't so good, but, you know, you can sort of pick and choose who your friends and stuff are, but, you know, it's a great sport. It really is, and it's, tell you what, it's the most humbling sport there is. I mean, you can be, you know what, it's about like a quarterback first throw throwing a touchdown, then the very next throw throwing an interception. And it's, and roping's like that all the time. I mean, even for the best in the world, man, it's a high and it's a low, and you know, and you just hope to. It's a team sport. When I say team, there's two on, you know, a header and a heeler. So, you know, and then you got a cow, and you know, and that was part of the scenario over there. Some of the cows were better than others, and what I mean by that is they run better patterns, or they don't run as hard, or they don't run with their heads low, just different things of that nature. So lots of times it's the luck of the draw, and I certainly didn't have the luck of the draw. I did the one cow that I missed that really, really hurt me. I shouldn't have missed, and that probably cost me the win of the roping. And you know what? It's just like in football, man. You got to take advantage of every single opportunity when they arise. And I did, you know. And like I said, it's a lot to do with it. Was, I'll be honest with you, by the time it was over, I was sore and tired and couldn't hardly move. And so was my horse, and you know, that's no excuse. I'm just telling you, I've got to get in better shape. I've got to be better prepared. I got to, you know, get my horse in better shape. Honestly, that had made the third time in about, let's see, we roped, I think, on Wednesday and then Thursday. So it made like three times within a four-day period or something where I roped. And the, you know, my horse being off for as many years, it, you know, he just as tired and sore as I was. So it was a great experience. I really needed it. I needed to get into competition. You know, that's the one thing that I love about any sport is the competition and you know, the drive of it. You know, that's losing. I mean, winning, yes. Winning would have certainly, you know, had me feeling lots better about myself, but losing, man, it makes you drive that much harder. And I know that sounds crazy, but you know, I knew when I missed that one cow that I shouldn't have missed. I knew that was my chances down the drain to win that roping, and that's the way it is. And I'll be honest, I got to be better. You know, I got to prepare better. I got to be better prepared. All the above, you know. Most of these sports are all the same concept. They're different sports, but you know, you got to be prepared. It's about like taking a football team to a scrimmage game. That, you know, me going over there that early, you know, hadn't had but like a couple of days of practice, and you know, going and roping is about like a scrimmage game. You know, you practice a few days, then you're going to see what you got, and you learn from that. So, you know, my ultimate goal was to go enter a big roping September 1st weekend, and they're giving a truck away to the high money winner. That was my ultimate goal, and I just don't know if it's going to happen or not. I know this rain sort of, you know, kept us from practicing a couple of days this week, and you know, I really needed that, so I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But you know, nevertheless, it was a lot of fun. Like I said, I needed it. I needed to get into some competition. You need that pressure. You know, you need that. Just like in football, you need those scrimmages for those other teams to get after you, to really challenge you, and all that. And that's exactly what it did. You know, the challenge of, I hadn't run that many steers since, you know, in the practices that I'd ran a bunch over there that really ran, which takes a lot out of you as well. And you know, so it was a good test for me. I felt like it, you know, if I was grading myself, I'd probably grade myself a 75 or an 80 out of 100. It was pretty good, you know, but it wasn't nowhere near perfect, and I sure didn't do enough to win. So, but back to the drawing board. But anyway, lots of fun. If anybody listening has never seen a team roping, you need to look it up. I know Miss Pam asked me, did it hurt the cows? No, it don't hurt the cows. And I'll just tell you right now, if you've ever been around cows, those suckers are tough, boy. I mean, they're mean and tough. So you got to do a lot to really hurt a cow anyway. But, these roping steers, they're just like horses. They're bred for this. They're performance livestock. I mean, that's what they're, they take these genetics and DNAs and all that, and they pass this right along just from like horses, just like the racehorses. They do this in roping steers and stuff as well, and bucking bulls, and they started, it's a big deal, they started doing it all across rodeo, so it don't hurt them. I mean, it takes a lot to really, really hurt one, but if you haven't never seen one, it takes a lot of talent, people. I'm going to tell you right now, it takes a lot of skill, talent, to rope, and because you got to ride, you got to rope, you got to worry about your partner, you got a cow there, so it takes a lot of skill and hard work and preparation to get to that point. So if you've never seen it, you might want to check it out, because it's going to it's a lot of fun. Like I said, it's a big family oriented kind of thing. So really, I was really excited about it, and I'm hoping there's lots going on that weekend that I wanted to go to. The September the first weekend, that's a holiday, I guess it's Memorial Day, Labor Day, I guess, whatever, I get them too confused, but it's one of them, and they have a big ranch rodeo, and I wanted to try to get ready to go to it, and won a bunch of money and tons of buckles over there throughout the years, and they didn't have it the last few years, and this year they're going to have it, and I really wanted to go, but I don't know. I can say I certainly won't be able to go to both, I'm sure. I'm nowhere near in that kind of shape, and I'm be honest, this is Thursday, and I'm just now getting where I feel pretty good from last Saturday, so and it was just a combination of all week as well, but I really was hoping to go to those two, that ranch rodeo. It's in Castlewood, Virginia, and then the Ropens in Cleveland, Tennessee. So they're not that far apart, but we'll definitely see what happens. I'm going to try to make one of them for sure. But you need to, check team roping out. It's really fun. And like I say, it's good to get kids involved, and there's all kinds of kids, the biggest thing is it's like, we went to that roping and, you turn the kids loose, but you know where they are. You can see them all the time. You know, everybody there, and you look and all the kids are over there gathered up. They're all riding horses or punching cows or doing something. It ain't like you go here somewhere and you got to keep an eye on, worry about somebody getting them or whatnot. It's nothing like that. So it's a big family oriented deal, but I've certainly missed it. I can tell you that I've really missed it, and missed seeing all my friends and pals. So hopefully get back on track before the end of the year, at least get maybe first year be clicking on all cylinders. So nevertheless, now what are we 2 weeks away from football being over, I guess, and we've already got a big rule change in one league. Seen that the WNFC has changed the rule, gonna move the kickoff up to the 45. I get it. It's because most kickoffs only go down to about the other 45 or 40, and that puts all the pressure on your defense, if you don't have huge teams, it puts pressure on your best players to have to play a lot. I know it's part of the sport having kickoffs, but, we adopted an Iron Woman scenario to not have the kickoffs and start at 25. And I'll tell you right now, it takes a lot of pressure off your defense, because they got a whole long field to go to score. And that's essentially what they're doing, is to get the ball driven back further than the field position. And then they also changed a rule that a defensive score is 9 points, and then you can go for one, two, or three with an extra point. So, you know what? One turnover could get you 12 points if you so choose. But I don't know all the ins and outs about it, but over in, maybe this week I can find out for sure, and we'll talk more about it. Right now we're going to get Commissioner Ms. Pam McQueer on. She's going to talk to us about a bunch of stuff going on in the USWFL. Hello, Ms. Pam. How are you?
I'm doing good, Coach Dave. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Just sitting here watching it rain at the moment, but doing great. How are things in the great state of Michigan?
You know what? It's pretty humid here today, but we really can't complain compared to the southern states. So, you know, we'll take the warm days because it won't be too long and it's going to get pretty nippy up here.
I guarantee it. Well, tell us all about what we're going to get off here early tonight. I ain't going. We got about 30 minutes, probably 25, 30 minutes. Tell us about all this new stuff you've been working your tail off to get done and what we can be looking forward to in the next few weeks to come.
Well, I'm excited to do so. You know, I think the first thing I'd like to start with is that for those that are listening and have not been to the USWFL.org, our website page, one of the things that I think is probably the most exciting news of all is that within our second week of restructuring the league, we now have our championship venue, which will be played in the 2024 season on July 27th at Western Michigan University, Waldo Stadium. That will be a first. And it's, if I'm not incorrect, it is the largest venue yet that any women's football championship game has been played in. So we're excited to bring it to Michigan. Looking forward to a whole year to prepare for that. Another announcement that we've had is that Douglas Sports and Pads, for those that don't know, is the home of the first women's football shoulder pad, Xena, that I patented and designed. So we're excited to welcome Douglas on as our first national sponsor. We set out for a goal 2 weeks ago to have 8 teams. We reached 8 teams last week. So far in the league, we are looking for 2 more teams to wrap up the rosters and the teams at max for this year. So currently we have the Tennessee Thunder returning, the Detroit Prowl returning, which is your championship team for 2023. Cincinnati Sizzle is coming back. New kids on the block are the New Orleans Hippies coming out of retirement. We're really excited to have them. Florida Legacy coming out of Fort Myers, Florida. This will be their first season as a team. And pulling out of retirement, we have the Dayton Diamonds. So we have Beaumont, Texas is a franchise that's coming in. And then, of course, the Houston franchise. So in the last 48 hours, I've yielded probably, I think, about 7 or 8 calls from potential teams wanting to interview to come in. And, you know, we're excited. The unfortunate part of it is, Coach Davis, we can't have them all this year. But it's great to know that word's getting out there about the league and, you know, the restructuring of it and kind of how we're going to do things, if you will. It'll be a little different than in the years gone past. And, you know, a few of those things are that we definitely want to have teams that want to come into a league that want to be a part and have a part in pioneering the league and contributing to the sport that, I mean, it's so fast-paced growing. I have to say that I've been impressed. So far with, you know, we have some team owners that are stepping up in our league that are just volunteering their time to help us so we can just keep the wheels moving, if you will. But there's no more granny gear. We came out of that 2 weeks ago, and we're up in the upper gears already. And I couldn't be more excited for the league, but I'm really, really impressed with the amount of coverage that we're getting already and that the word's getting out there. And we really, truly haven't hit the media yet. But big news, you know, to be able to play at Western Michigan University on behalf of the league as a commissioner one of the commissioners. We are really, really impressed and excited that they welcomed us with such open arms to bring women's football here to Southwest Michigan. And it's a stadium to be proud to play in. It's beautiful. Seats about 30,000 people. And it's going to take us this whole year. Well, we're less than a year now. We're on countdown to get it filled. So we have a lot of great things coming. Some things can't be discussed yet on the air. But we're growing in leaps and bounds. And for 2 weeks out there, we already met our quota for the 18s, got our championship venue. I don't think we're doing too bad, Coach Dave.
No, you're doing excellent. And, you know, that's the thing is, you know, when me and you talked a long time ago, and then I'd talked to Darryl and all of them back before that, actually the championship game had even started, and I'd talked to Michael Vitale before the season ever started. And, you know, the exact thing is to do stuff right, to get things, you have to do exactly what you've been doing. I mean, to make this league a success, you know, it had to be done this way. And I'm going to tell you something. And I told you this today, you know, that, it was never my goal to, I didn't tell you this today, but it was never my goal to own a league. It just sort of fell on me. It was either take it over or the league was going to fold. And at the time we had a bunch of teams. So, you know, and at that time we also owned the Tri-City Thunder, and I coached it as well. And, you know, both me and Jennifer, we owned a business, and, you know, so, man, we just didn't have the time to put it in, you know, like you've been putting in and beating the bushes and going after all these people. Another thing is I'm not computer savvy at all. I'm not a social media person. Y'all have lit all that up, and you know, it takes somebody to do that very thing like you did to make it this a success. I mean, yeah, you can get a few teams in there and call the league, but if you really want to make a statement, make noise, then you have to go about it and doing the things that you did. You know, the fact that, to be honest with you, the fact of going after a venue to have a championship game like that, it never entered my mind. I mean, because, you know, we never really charged a lot of league fee, if all, any at all. And, you know, we were just trying to get a few teams in there to play ball. But now it's grown into a full-time business. You know what I mean? And you're seeing that firsthand, and you're taking it to the next level. And, you know, I always say this, it's sort of like trucking. You either got to be all in or all out. And, you know, it was about to the point where, you know, it wasn't worth doing, and, you know, we were about all out.
Well, I think you and Jennifer did a great job, you know, with it running, you know, a husband and wife team. And, you know, I certainly can't take all the credit for what's transpired in the last 2 weeks, because Darryl Hobbs has played a huge role in that. Mike Vitale has stepped up, you know, as well to help. You know, which really, truly just shows how serious and how passionate these team owners and league owners are to make this league be successful. There's no doubt about it, you know, that, you know, we want to see, and we talk about this all the time, Dave, you know, we want to see our team owners to survive and make it conducive for the league, because the league, unfortunately, has to charge a fee for the teams, so we have our operating funds. But, you know, I believe in my heart of hearts, as you say, if you do things right, you know, things will work out. You know, I certainly never thought that Charlie and I were going to sit in the position of being commissioners. However, I have to tell you that I had no idea what the duties of a commissioner was, but I'm beginning to learn day by day by day. Just in 2 weeks, it's just really, really time consuming. It's very rewarding, but you know, it's also contributing to something that you know will become a legacy in the years to come. You know, I don't know that you can call that work when you really enjoy what you're doing. I will tell you at the end of the day, though, you say you're not computer savvy, nor am I really, but I'm learning every day. But my eyes feel like I'm 105 years old from looking at the computer all day. And, you know, I got a gift to gab, and I'm telling you, at the end of the day, I'm tired from talking. That's a first. That's a first. But enjoying every second of it, Charlie and I are honored, you know, to be in the position and help restructure the league. And I think in a matter of 2 weeks is definitely a very strong statement that we've been, you know, we're going to get where we need to be a lot faster than what I anticipated, but we'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was the very first time I talked to you. Of course, the football was still going on, and you know, you told me how much you'd miss football and, you know, about just, you know, wanting to get back into it. And I think it was Mike Vitale that told me that, you know, that your dreams was maybe to own a league or something someday. But, you know, that this, I know it's been a lot of work for you. Don't get me wrong. I definitely know. But you know what? It's brought you back to the sport that you've missed and loved so much. You know, all the years, you're sort of like me with this rope, and you've missed a lot of years in football. And, you know, you don't realize how bad you miss it till you're away from it for a long time. And this is sort of, you know, it's just rejuvenated you and brought you back, and you might have more passion for it now than you've ever had.
Well, I can tell you I'm certainly seeing it from a different angle than what I did before, but it is true. I missed women's football every second of every day of every year that we were away. And I know Charlie got so tired of hearing me say, gosh, I miss women's football. And he'd look at me like, does that mean you're thinking about getting another team? He looked worried. He looked worried. But, you know, this is an opportunity for us to, as I say, we sat in a different position. And we feel that really, truly, we have more to contribute now to these teams, to the players, than we ever could as an owner, because we can help guide the direction of what the future for them will be. That's really a blessing. It really, truly is. Now, can we get there overnight? Absolutely not. But I'm amazed at the calls that I've received from other players from other leagues and team owners from other leagues. You know, really, truly, just kind of, if you will, checking out what is this all about over here at the USWFL. And, you know, each and every one of them, as I speak to them, I praise them and I thank them for their contribution. This league may not be fit for everyone, and our vision clearly may not be theirs, but there's one thing about it. There'll never be a call that will come in to Commissioner Pam or Charlie that we're not going to thank them for. They have been pioneering as well, and I tell them, be grateful and thankful. Whatever league you're in, whatever team that you're on, that you get to go on the field on a Saturday night, because it certainly takes a great deal of effort from your team owner, from your league owner's place.
Well, you can't even imagine, you know, and we talked a little bit about it last week, but the time that these head coaches put in on these teams, you know, and you're not even practicing as much as you should be, and still yet the time you put in, you know, the conversation me and you had today of just everything that goes on in life with owning a team or coaching a team, you know, and it just becomes another full-time job, you know, or a second marriage, as you want to say. And, you know, I know a lot of coaches, you know, have couches with pull-out beds in their offices at school because they're there so dang much, you know, and that's a true statement. And it's really no different. It's came to that now. I know a lot of teams don't do that, but all these successful teams, these coaches are all in, man. And when
they are.
They don't. You know, I don't know what they get paid, Pam. I don't know if any of them, if they get paid or what they get paid. But I can assure you this: it's not enough. I can tell you that.
No.
It's definitely not enough.
Well, you know, another thing too that I think Dave is overlooked is that when these players in women's football, and I mean, it's in any sport, but let's talk about women's football because here we are, right, talking about the USWFL. I think something that's overlooked is the commitment and the obligation and the sharing that these women playing football, so that their families have to make a sacrifice too, because the players, if they're dedicated, they, you know, they're spending time away from their families. Maybe they're single moms. Maybe they're newlywed. You know, who's to say? They all have careers. But that goes overlooked as well. And I think that one of the things I would like to focus on is that we always remember, whether we're a player, we're a coach, we're a team owner, a league owner, that we thank our family, too, for sharing us with a sport that we love because, as you say, it's endless hours. It's a dedication that you can't come in here and just give it a part-time effort, because if you do, then that's the product you're going to put on the field on a Saturday night. But our families make great sacrifices, too, so that we can do what we love. And, you know, I'm a mom of three underneath my roof, and you know what? They're sharing their mommy and their daddy every day with women's football, but they know that we've had passion for many, many years. Our oldest is 25. She grew up at Field. She grew up at Waldo Stadium with our coaches up there watching Western Michigan University practice every day, every day. So it is a huge sacrifice, and it also comes from our loved ones too. And I think that all of us listening or that are a part of this league or any other league, we have to remember that, too, because it's a great sacrifice for them as well.
Yeah, it most certainly is. Yeah, people don't think about that near enough, you know, of what, you know, families go through. And you know, that's the thing, too. And it's like that in every sport, Pam. You know, it's like when me and Jennifer first got married and I roped, that's all I did was rope and ride horses. And you know, we were gone to a rope and somewhere like three days during the week and then every weekend. And you know, all those years, you know, before she started roping, it was just there, you know, to support me. And it, you know, it's the same, it's repetition stuff roping in. So it can get boring once you've seen a bunch of it. Now, for me, it don't get boring, but for a lot of people it does. But, you know, the support that you have there, you know, is amazing. And, you know, that's why when she started playing football, that's why that, you know, I sort of put roping on the back burner was, you know, to be there. And I, you know, even when she played in Chattanooga, I was at most of the practices and I think I missed one game, but you know, families play a huge role in this. And I'm going to tell you that, you know, you're talking about the single moms or whatever the case may be, is people don't realize just how much it takes for a single mom to work, to provide for those kids and to keep a household going and then still have time to play football. Are you kidding me? And do it at a high level? Hey, that's extra special right there, you know. And I was raised by a single parent, and I know exactly, my mom raised us three boys, and I know for a fact she didn't have time to play no football. So to see all that is really just truly amazing. And you know, we just sort of, we get caught up in all the success or the non-success and the competing and all that, and we really overlook, you know, what kind of sacrifices everybody in the sport makes.
Well, you know, too, Dave, one of the things that I used to share often, and I'm, you know, now reminded of it, being active here in this league, is that these women aren't paid to play. So whatever their occupations are, they put themselves at risk at every practice, at every game, for an injury that could take them out of work, and then how do you support your family? And I just can't say enough about that to the listeners, is that that is when you trade off something you like for something you have such a strong passion for that you'll do anything. You'll do anything to feed that desire and that fire so that you can play that game that you love. And I'm telling you, that's a really powerful statement. But on that note, I had a call today, and I heard somebody, one of the players said to me, well, I've been listening on the radio, but we've never heard Charlie. And I said, well, you know what? That probably would be because Charlie's shy, Pam's a talker and a walk. Tonight, I'm sitting right here beside him, and I'm going to introduce that quiet voice that's behind the scenes, but he really doesn't speak much. So I'm going to take a second out here, and I think it's time that the listener fans of the USWFL hear from Mr. Charlie McQueer.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, Charlie, how you doing, brother?
Well, I'm doing pretty good for like an old man.
I understand that. Trust me, I really do. I appreciate all the hard work you guys are putting in up there. I know it's tough, and I'm going to tell you something. Women's football is about the toughest business to be in I've ever seen, not to pay anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I want to say hi to everyone that's out there that's listening to you guys. And I'm behind their Pam, they're 110%. She works her hind end off, this thing going in the right direction. And, you know, there could take an awful lot of people getting involved to make it work the way that it needs to work.
Yes, it most certainly does. It takes a lot of people to do anything right anymore. You know, it used to be that venues and everything you did was small, but now with the population and all the venues growing, it just takes tons and tons of help to get things done and in the right kind of direction to push everybody in to get it done.
Yeah, well, so you found the right one to get it done, because believe me, she's got more passionate than anybody that I know, and she puts her heart and soul into this thing to make sure that it's going to work the way that it needs to work.
Right. Well, that's why we got y'all in this situation. You know, from the first time I talked to her, well, I actually talked to Mike Vitale before I talked to Pam, and he said, you wait till you talk to this little gal, said she's a firecracker. He said, I'm telling you right now. And, you know, I probably talked to her for about 4 hours off and on that day. And you know, it was after that call that, you know, I knew somehow, some way, me and her were going to be in business with football somehow, some way.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Because she's been a boss to me for 40-some years. So, you know, if she's got something to say, she's going to say it. And usually when it comes out of her mouth, it ain't nothing but the truth. And
that's what I like.
You know, yeah, she put her heart and soul into this, and she wants to see nothing but the best for everyone that's involved.
Well, that's what you do, is you put people around you that have as much passion about stuff as you do, and you can't help but build success.
Yeah.
So that's why we got y'all in the situation you're in, because we knew that she was destined to take the steer by the horns, as you say.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, with her, they're inventing a shoulder pad, you know, just sitting back, you know, like, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to make a shoulder pad for these women. They don't have one. And the rest is history. But I think I've spoken my piece, so I'll let you go back with her.
Charlie, I appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate you working hard behind the scenes, man. I really do.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Dave, you know, I think tonight, I've heard they're going to think that he really, truly doesn't exist. So there's Charlie McQueer. Good job, Charlie. You know, I'd like to kind of end my part of this tonight by saying that, you know, moving the headquarters here to Michigan gave us an opportunity to reach out to some of the people that has endorsed us throughout the years for women's football. God knows Douglas took a risk on a little girl from Michigan who just had a dream about protecting women in football. And Zena has proven itself to be a fact that it was much needed. We're really excited to launch that new Zena series that's coming out. There'll be two different series in 2024. And to get back to the Michigan part, one of the things that's been near and dear always to me as a team owner was to contribute and give something back to the community in ways that we could, that the community had supported us. So the USWFL is going to align this year with Crayons for Kids, and I'm going to encourage all the listeners and the team owners and players to please go to Crayons, so it's Crayons, the number 4, kids, kids.org. Crayons for Kids is a nonprofit organization based here out of Bronson Children's Hospital, where they donate, or through donations, if a child is brought into ER or they're up on the pediatric floor, they supply everything from colored books and crayons to toys, to crafts, to DVD players, handheld games. They actually have now a movie theater room up on the PEDS floor that Crayons for Kids is responsible for putting together. And Crayons for Kids now goes into third world countries. And it is going to be an opportunity for us at the championship game to be able to have a color book and crayon and toy drive there, as well as we'd like to take some of the players that week of the championship game up to the PEDS floor to visit the children at the Children's Hospital. And, you know, it's a place that's near and dear to us. We only come to know about it, unfortunately, to our oldest daughter being hospitalized in critical care for 5.5 weeks. Heather had a stroke and was hemorrhaging basically to death. And she was 9. 3 days later, she turned 10 in the critical care unit. And so Crayons for Kids brings in birthday packages. And when I say packages, Heather, mind you, was 9 years old. Dr. Lean Wan, which is his children who founded and started the organization, they set Heather in a chair with IVs in both hands. They literally piled toys after toy after toy after toy around Heather. There had to have been over $1,000 worth of toys. I mean, it was unbelievable. And we had never even heard of Crayons for Kids. But, you know, after watching Heather suffer, and she had had the stroke, so one side of her face was paralyzed, it's the first that we had seen Heather even attempt to make a smile when she's seen all the passion, all the love, and the caring that Crayons for Kids brought in. And we vowed as parents when we left the hospital that we would somehow give back to that organization. And we have done so every year since 2008. So we're really, really excited about that, as well as I have to tell you that Crayons for Kids, Dr. Lean Wan, which was Heather's surgeon, it's his two children, Matt and Emily, that had founded it. Their daddy spent so much time at the hospital as a pediatric general surgeon that they missed him, and they would listen to him come home and talk about, you know, how it's just he'd try whatever he could do to put a smile on the kids' face. So they decided to put a big cardboard box out at their front door and started asking people in their neighborhood to fill it with color books and crayons that Matt and Emily Leanwad could visit the hospital and take it to the children. And that's really where the birth of Crayons for Kids came from. And today, as I said, they've been on national news, and that organization takes color books and crayons into third world countries. So I'm excited for our league to team up with them. We can never have enough donations and never enough smiles on those children's faces. Some of them never leave the hospital, and we have to remember that. So I'm excited about that as well. And I know that Crayons for Kids is just blown away that the league is going to try to help them.
Yeah, we as human beings, never mind the sport and coaching and all that, just as human beings, we don't do nowhere near enough of that stuff, you know. I know a good friend of mine that has recently lost his wife to a heart attack, and I actually seen him last night. He used to rope, and he actually got me into trucking pretty much. And his son, you know, have you ever heard of Saint? I'm sure you've heard of Saint Jude. You know.
Oh yeah.
His son had some kind of had something wrong with him, and you know they had to take him to Saint Jude's, and I forget, you know, he had something wrong he's born with, and they took him down there and was down there forever. And you know what, not one, this guy trucked for a living, and back when, you know, people really, really struggled, and he said, Dave, I'll just tell you, man, I wasn't in a good place with my whole family, you know, this, that, and other. And he said, St. Jude, we didn't know what we was going to do about Brian. He needed this surgery, couldn't afford it. The doctors was talking his ungodly amount of money. And he said, you know what? Jude called us, said, we hear your son needs this and that. He was down there forever, didn't charge him a dime, you know. And today he'll tell you that story and just tear up, you know. And we as human beings, like I said earlier, we take so much stuff for granted, and we just don't never help those kind of organizations near enough. And you know, to before you said you know he's going to get some players to go up there, I was just thinking, you know, we as an organization and the headquarters and all there, we need to go there as often as we can, really, you know, to help the situation out.
You know, it's amazing. When we had our women's football team, we would take our players and we'd go up there and we'd visit the PEDS floor. And we had one little patient, we'll never forget her, from the Southwest Michigan Jaguars. Her name was Annie, sweet little Annie. And Annie was in, she had cancer. And we'd go up and we'd visit her. And the team stayed in touch with her. It was for a couple years after. We'd invite her out to our little football camps and that, and it got to the point where her health declined and she could no longer come. But none of us ever forgot her. And when sweet little Annie passed, I'll never forget the card, and with the handwritten letter on the inside from her parents talking about how just those visits, simple visits from our players, inspired her. We gave her a jersey. We left her with a ball. She came to a couple of our games when she could. But you know something? We are never too busy in life. It doesn't matter if it's Cranes for Kids, if it's St. Jude's, whatever it might be. We are never too busy to give a few minutes of our time to make a huge difference in other people's lives, because you just never know.
Well, you know, that's one thing. I'll tell you, this AFE All-Star it's event that, you know, they put on, Jennifer plays on, and a bunch of the girls from the Prowl, and we're just girls all around. They're going to take 50 something to Mexico. I'm not exactly sure of the number. But one of the huge things they're about is they always go to Children's Hospital, or, you know, when I was on the coaching staff in Orlando, we actually went to the Boys and Girls Club and give them all their school supplies. You know, it was about this time last year, I guess, or year before last, I can't remember. But no, it was this year, last year. And give them all their school supplies, had them ice cream party, and, you know, that kind of stuff. So they're huge into that kind of thing. And it's great, because I'm telling you, there's just not enough of that happens. And you know, we're fortunate. You know, we really, people don't realize, and I know you do, you've had serious problems in your life with your eyesight and stuff, but, you know, people don't realize we take so much for granted that we're fortunate to be able to do the things in life that, you know, hobbies and stuff that we really enjoy. And, you know, it puts it all in perspective when when you go visit places like that, and if it don't touch your heart, usually because you ain't got one.
That's true. That's true. And you know, I think that you can look at life, right, is that, you know, either the glass is half empty, half full. You've heard me say this numerous times. I roll by the fact that at least I have a glass. And, you know, you're right. You know, after having an eye disease and being totally blind for 6 months, all I did was pray every day of every second of every day, God, just let me see again. And you know what? Although I didn't get to regain all the sight I wanted to, and, you know, I lost the vision pretty much in my left eye. You know, I tell this story over and over again, usually with a crown and a sash on, but here's what I say. It wasn't until the second month of not being able to see that I realized that 20/20 is not our best vision. It's the hindsight. It's the insight that God gives us that we got to tap into. And we have to be grateful that we're at least alive. So I complain not about the life that for the last 43 years I've had to live with a visual impairment. But I also have learned something, too. All handicaps are not seen, and we need to be compassionate and understanding of others, because just because they look like they're okay doesn't mean that they are. They're, you know, handicaps are a constant companion. But you get to make the choice. Are you going to let it define you or not? So guess what? I didn't get to become the neurosurgeon I wanted to. I didn't get to play football. I did go on, though, to become, you know, a martial artist and a boxer until I got hit in the eye, in my good eye, and the ophthalmologist about choked me and said, are you serious? Did you forget you couldn't see? Well, that was it. That was enough for me. But my point is, that when there's a will, there's a way, and we must be grateful every day for the opportunities that we've been given. Charlie and I are grateful for the opportunity to help restructure the league and to contribute at some level, and we'll be grateful for each and every player, team owner, as we go along here at the league that we'll get to meet, and to know that, again, we're back contributing to women's football. And you know what, I can't encourage listeners enough that, you know what, it doesn't take you to be a football player. It doesn't take you to be a basketball player to go volunteer at your local children's hospital, maybe for the veterans, you know, maybe for a food pantry, whatever. But give a few minutes of your time, because I believe that, you know what, God gives us double for our trouble.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and like I say, we're fortunate to be able to do sports, and I'm gonna tell you that you know, there was the AFE people, they believe in so strongly in it. There was a girl that I don't remember the exact scenario, but she didn't make it to the thing, but I'll tell you right now, turned out good for her or anybody on that team. You know, that she didn't show up, because they're all about it, and you know, rightfully so. You got to give back, and you know, sports is one of the best ways. I mean, you take, you know, no matter what goes on in this country. And it don't matter, you know, the Olympics and stuff happen all the time. So sports, you know, is a great thing. And, you know, if it's used in the right scenario, it can, you know, it can be one of the greatest things in the world. So, well, Pam, I appreciate you coming on here tonight, you and Charlie, and talking to us. And I appreciate all your hard work that you put in, and we'll be, you know, like I say, here in the next little bit of future, we'll be getting these team owners involved on the show and talking with them. And, you know, a lot of them give them the opportunity to talk about their teams, which, you know, they may or may not have had the opportunity to do so before, especially the new teams and all that. So, again,
right.
Thank you for all your work and everything that you do. So,
well, you're welcome. You're welcome. If any of our team owners are listening, you need to be prepared because next week we're going to have a meet and greet virtual. And then that following week we'll start, Dave, you can start having them on. We'll go one by one and bring them on to talk about their team and, you know, where they are, you know, maybe if they're recruiting still, whatever the case may be. So thanks. It's always a pleasure coming on. And, you know, I'm going to refer back to the Carpenter song. Really here at the USWFL, we've only just begun.
You got that right. So we're heading in the right direction, no doubt. So, and that's basically thanks to you. I know Daryl did a lot, but you've been spearheading it. You're the one that talks to them relentless and all that stuff. So, and I really can't thank you enough for it because, you know, it was wasn't sure what I was going to do with the league. So, again, Pam, I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you as well, Coach. Have a good evening.
You joined us again, her and Charlie. They're doing a great job. Pam put in a lot of hard work, man. It's tough, I'll tell you. Anyway, we'll see what we can get into next week. Maybe I'll have some more roping stories to share with you. I don't know what's going to transpire with this weather and stuff, but it's looking pretty ragged around here. So, but all this wouldn't be possible without J.C. Hawk Sports Network. She's the one that took the chance on a dumb old country boy from Tennessee. So we need to thank her and can't thank her enough either. So we really appreciate J.C. for your hard work and everything you do to make this possible. So I guess, folks, till next Thursday, we'll see you then. Thank you.